Hello and welcome back to Pints and Pairings. I'm Curtis Taylor, also known as Hophead Ted.
And I'm Jason Hendrick, the hungry man from Everybody's Hungry.
This episode, as with every other episode from here on out, for as long as we can milk it, is brought to you, that's right, brought to you by, with the generous support of the Beer Cave, located at, 231 Village Commons Boulevard. I almost forgot. I've been looking at it all over the place. That's Camarillo, California. And guess what? They've got to have, say, a million different kinds of beer somewhere in there. I mean, give or take 10 or 15, but close to a million. I mean, when you walk in there, you know that you've definitely walked into a beer retail establishment. And I know you're going to go there, because we've talked about it for four or five episodes. So when you go in, make sure you tell Mo, who's working behind there, if you see Sammy, the owner of the store, let him know that you heard about it here. That will help us.
And it helps them.
And it helps them as well, too, because you've gone in because you've heard it here. This is the pre-show, Pints and Pairings. It's good to see you, Jason.
It's good to see you as well.
You know, I haven't even gotten through all of the other shows yet. We're still... I don't know. I think I have three in the bank, so to speak. But, you know, it's holiday times, and I couldn't pass up a chance just to hit some of these really heavy beers. They were coming in the line anyway, but I think we should skip a little and come back, you know.
And at the expense or the risk of annoying some of our Midwest and East Coast followers, it's been chilly out here. The weather's changing, obviously, with the month of November. It's pretty typical. But it's a perfect time for these heavier beers, this either a heavy spice or high alcohol or deep, rich maltiness. There's going to be a lot of opportunities there to really stave off that winter chill.
Well, when I first moved here, so 4 years ago, we moved and it was one of those Santa Ana winters. So I don't know if it got less than 70 degrees the whole time, that very first winter I was here. And I seriously thought I was never going to drink a big heavy beer again while I was here. Like, I was going to have to go home to South Dakota.
How sad for the big heavy beers.
Right, I know. So barley wine, stouts, any of these. And here we are today. I'm wearing slippers. I got to keep my...
Those are thick and fuzzy, too.
They are, yes, they are.
I feel like maybe we're in the Colorado Rockies or something.
Well, yeah, they're kind of granola tree hugging hippie kind of things, but... But they're keeping my feet warm because, you know, as great as the studio looks here on camera, behind every one of these strategically placed refrigerators or drop screens is a garage. And there's, if you thought the houses in Southern California were poorly insulated, you should step into a garage. So yeah, it's either 9,000 degrees in the summertime or it never gets above 50 degrees in the wintertime. And when you're sitting out here all day long, it gets cold.
Whereas where I grew up in Indiana... Garages are built as another room a lot of times. Not always, but if people are smart, sometimes they build it as another room, and it isn't insulated thoroughly. But you also would see things like snow blowers and shovels, whereas here we see cabinetry and storage bins.
Bins, printers, computers, monitors, and anything else. And the reason being is because I don't have a basement, and I mean... Coming out of the Midwest, we all had basements. And so that was...
My mother-in-law didn't realize what a basement was. We had a debate one night, actually, about
what is
the
a basement?
Term basement. Because I was calling their place a basement.
Is it a split level?
It's a split level. Or it's a... what else do they call it? Because it's only surrounded...
A walkout basement?
Walkout, yeah. Because it's only surrounded by technically two walls of dirt. The main kind of hillside... is enclosed. Sure. The other side, the westerly facing wall, is enclosed by dirt. But then there's a main area that looks out across the neighborhood. And I still called it a basement because you're going downstairs and some of it's enclosed by dirt. So to me, it was a basement. They're like, no, this is a split level. Right. I'm like, no, where I grew up, this could be considered a basement. I'm like, honey, this is a split level.
Well, that's in South Dakota, it's hard to come by a hill. So you don't have... Generally
you got to make your own hill out there.
You generally don't have the option of a walkout. It's just going down. But anywhere else where maybe there's volcanic rock and anything else that they don't want to dig into, sure. You know, if you're... And then hilly on top of it. So this is... this certainly is not your run-of-the-mill garage, but it still gets kind of chilly in here. I even have a little space heater under here, too. So
wow, that's beyond what I expected.
When it gets to December. Well, I haven't used it in a long time.
Do you have problems with circulation, Curtis?
January or so. Well, it gets cold underneath this desk. But what's really nice is it keeps, because, you know, the heat rises, so it fills up all this little area, so I can just kind of tuck in right underneath. Just tuck in there.
Genevieve comes out one day and you like snuggled underneath there, like, it's so warm under here.
I got my sweatshirt on, but you know, I'm wearing shorts.
Well, you know, when we're talking about warming up, though, I'm starting to get some of that vibe, not necessarily from the alcohol of this beer that we're opening with, but from the spice. You know, we want to let this, as you're doing, you're cupping your glass, you're trying to warm it up a little more, so some of those organic compounds and the aromas will come out more. But this is a cool little beer that I wasn't anticipating an opening for. It is from Uncommon Brewers, and it's the Siamese Twin Ale. Their little tagline is "Uncommon beer for uncommon people." I think that fits us to a T.
It may be just a tiny bit derivative of off-centered ales for off-centered people, but the Dogfish Head slogan. But you know, Santa Cruz. And she starts to get in Northern California, things get a little...
And it is marked as an organic twin. But it's 8.5% alcohol. And we get into the description.
8.5%.
Yeah, it's a dark amber malt body, melds with notes of coriander and lemongrass in the nose, kefir lime leaf, and sweet Belgian finish. So they're really leaning towards some infusion of cool spice, a little pinch of herb. I don't get as much herb as I do the spice. But it makes for a nice beer and speaks right to the warming effect that we're talking about.
Yeah, one of the things that I don't know how politically correct calling something a Siamese twin is, and I don't know necessarily where that...
And it's got an interesting safari hat on the label in conjunction with the Siamese twin discussion.
Well, the Uncommon Brewers kind of thing. That's part of their logo.
Oh.
But Siamese twin ale sounds a lot more appetizing than conjoined twin ale. I'm just throwing that out.
I'll leave that one where it lays.
just throwing it out. But you know, I picked these up. These are this is obviously a beer from the Beer Cave. They're going to start carrying these here in the next few days. And Sammy wanted to know what I thought about it. I think it's a really nice double. I wasn't a double out of a can. And now, so this is just like blowing all of this out of the air out of the water. So I've had a triple that was in a can. I've had a Saison that was in a can. Now a double. So, I mean, there's nothing, just let go. If you've got this, it's in a can kind of prejudice, let go of it. And
yeah, you definitely got to let go of it because it's a great way to transport. It's great for your own flexibility. If you're going camping or you're out river rafting or something, you know, the cans are durable. They stay cold. They ship well. And it prevents the light from getting in, too. If you have any beers, we've talked about lagers and pilsners and that on the lower end of the spectrum being affected by UV, you don't have to worry about that either. Sun King out in Indianapolis, a place that I visited recently, all their beers are in cans. Mm-hmm. They don't have any variety in terms of container, and they're doing just fine. This is a really cool beer. I like it, too, because it offers an interesting palate and complexity. There's a free... Pardon me, for me, almost a little bit of ginger on the palate. The coriander definitely comes through. It was a good sustained malt body, but then there's a little bit of that citrus hop focus too. So I'd say Sammy, carry it.
Yeah, I was looking, trying to nail down the malt flavors because there's a little sweet caramel, but it's a more it's a real nutty kind of caramel sort of flavor, and it's more complex than just the usual caramel sweetness that we talk about.
Sure. And the more it sits on my palate, I'm starting to get a little bit of an herbal vegetal aspect as well. Not as much in the beginning, but almost maybe a little bit of beet and radish. So you get some kind of that dark sweetness and starchy factor, that mouthfeel of beets and radish with maybe a little bit of almost celery kind of bite.
Yeah, I don't care for beets that much, and it's such a strong flavor to me.
It can be, for sure.
And so I'm not sure. I'm wondering if maybe the pepper but just the mouthfeel, it's hard to kind of pinpoint where that is. But certainly the spices on there, there's a peppery dry kind of finish as well. So I like it. That's a nice one, especially in a can, 8.5%. You can bet that if you sit down with a can of this, that you shouldn't go anywhere.
I think, though, because of the different style of notes we're getting and not just kind of a linear focus of sweetness, malt, or corn or anything like that, it would lend itself to being a great food beer as well. I could see a lot of flexibility here, from rich, darker meats that we've talked about in the past to maybe even in the summer. You know, this is a heavier alcohol percentage. It's definitely a sweeter, malty backbone. But if you took this outside with some really cool fresh vegetables and a salad with crunch and maybe a creamy dressing, this could be an excellent pairing for that.
Well, just last night in our CSA box, community-supported agriculture, there was just this giant bunch of arugula, and it is some of the best arugula that I've had. I mean, it was beyond nutty, and it was beyond pepper. And what was really fun about it, too, is I was just watching. I just watched a video from on Jason and I. Every once in a while, I'm on another radio show called Tom and Sandy's 805. Wait, live in the 805 with Tom and Sandy.
Yeah, it's something. They've gone through a few name iterations.
whichever. But it's in the morning, Saturday mornings here in Ventura. But one of the characters, I mean, you've got Jason, every once in a while I'm there, but one of the other characters is an organic farmer, Johnny Fontaine, and he's in
Which
Ohio.
Is an excellent name, too. We talk about it all the time, but it's like a rock star name just in the agricultural community.
And he is, you look at him and he could be a rock star. I mean, he's a rock star organic farmer, you know, and so this great video of him working really hard and then cutting off these big bushy things of arugula. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm jonesing for some arugula. And then in my box, here comes this big old bunch of arugula. And, you know, there's a certain correlation between the spices left over in here as opposed to that. So whether that arugula is in a sandwich or in a salad, that could be a really nice base complement.
I think it's amazing how those influences can overtake you as well. We saw the same film, but we saw it when it was previewed at the Ohio Art Festival, Ohio Film Festival. And afterward, Bree, my wife, was like, I need a salad. I want a salad right now. Where can we get a great salad? But you also get the passion, just like when we go through a lot of these beers and you can taste what the craft brewer was trying to provide to you, the passion that Farmer John brings to his craft and his wife Elizabeth as well, who works with him side by side in the dirt. You can taste it, the freshness, the crispness, the really effort that's put into the ground by that team comes out in every bite.
Right. So just do a Google search for Johnny Fontaine, and it's a Vimeo video, and take a look at it, because these are some hardworking folks too. I mean, just on their knees for row after row after row, and just by hand putting each one of those seedlings in, you know, poking a hole with your finger, putting the seedling in, and all the way down. So,
and just to belabor a little bit, you know, farming is an art, it's a craft, and in many respects it's an old craft that has diminished in terms of popularity and involvement. You know, you get a lot of young people, they want to work in a tech job, they want to work on computers, they want to do something that's not hands-on like our grandparents and our parents did, and great grandparents. This is a family gig for Rio Gozo. We've met his son in the past as well. He's in there helping right side by side. John is mentoring a couple people in that craft and the art form of farming, and it's kind of cool to see that being passed along, just like, you know, mentors in the brewing community where they're able to bring on an intern or assistant and walk them through the delicate balance of hops and grains and, you know, a solid boil cycle and what that means to the finished product. So it's definitely a mentor kind of scenario that is being passed along.
Well, and if anyone's from the area, or if you come through here, you have to go to Ojai for at least just for a couple hours, because you drive up the mountains and it's such a different vibe there than 15 miles away in Ventura and the coastal areas. You get up there, it's hippieville, it's artists, it's organic farmers, and there's just such a great vibe up there. And at one point he mentioned something about being his Ojai coming out of him, and you know, that's what it is. It's this lifestyle, and he certainly found a place where he could enjoy living. And I don't even know where we got that arugula probably with this and getting off the topic, but
it all intertwines eventually though. The food, the beer, the expression, mm-hmm. people want to share their passion and excitement, and every one of those industries converges somehow or at some point.
Well, and when he's on the show too on Saturday mornings, I know that I'm going to be there when I walk in and I see him getting ready. Then I'm going to be there for about as long as he's there, because he's just so much fun to talk to. He's fun to listen to. He's interested in everything else too. I mean,
we should get him in on a show after we get through our core styles, maybe one of the bonus shows where he can bring in some fresh produce. We'll give him the beers ahead of time and see if he can match some fresh produce and organic items with the beer.
I was actually thinking that as I was watching that, going, wow, we should really be doing something with him. And whether it's a farm to table beer dinner in Ojai, whatever it is, but you know, a lot of fun stuff to do. A lot of fun things we could do with him, certainly. So
we got a fun lineup for today.
We do. And so I may have mentioned it early on, but we're hitting all of these style guidelines at the end. So 21, 2, 3, something like that. I don't even know which ones
we're close to the finish line.
I've got to look at it, and I've got the lineup behind me.
It's that last mile of the half marathon where you're like, oh, I know it's coming up. We're still pushing hard, but I know it's coming up soon.
We've got spice and herb vegetable beers. We have smoke and wood beers. We have strong ales. We have specialty ales. We have fruit beers. I think that's it, but there might be another one in there. But what's... One of the reasons, I mean, the BJCP categories weren't just put together willy-nilly. They put these in, and you start with...
There's actually a logical order in the way they lay them out.
It certainly is. And so you get to the end, though, in these last four or five beer categories, there is nothing in common. So a beer with asparagus could... infused asparagus could be put up against a beer that has coriander spice in it. I mean, so it's totally wide open. And so we'll just be more than ever. I mean, we do a lot of flying by the seat of our pants in this show, but more than ever, because who knows what this beer is going to taste like. I have not had Yule Smith, but it's by Ale Smith. Yes. That's why I haven't had the Yule Smith before, so I don't know what flavors are going to jump on.
What I love about these beers, though, is they can stand on their own with the complexity of a meal by itself. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be a lot of layers. There's unique flavors that are come out. But it also really opens a door for so many dishes and so many different styles of cuisines, because you can either, as we've talked about in the past, resonate with some of those flavor notes. You can contrast those in a fun way, or you can try to complement them and really get a excellent seamless pairing. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to be in for a great treat. Part of what threw us off, though, I was looking back, I'm like, why are we trying to figure out this number? It's because when we did the whip beer, we also did a Saison, which are technically in the same category. Mm-hmm. So we slipped in a subcategory on you and threw ourselves off a little bit. But
well, and then we've gone back and forth and doing a sour beforehand, but we're releasing the sour in. But these ones are going to be released because I want to get the holiday beers out. So if anyone's come, especially Thanksgiving is for us right
next
now
week.
as we're recording this, is next week. So if you're going to start, we're going right into the Christmas winter specialty spiced beers. That's category 21B. So we're going to hit that because these are, and I'll say it again when we get into the next one, these are dessert pairing delight beers. I mean, go so well.
And what holidays have more desserts than Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Right, and so it's just these beers and the season and everything. There's a reason why there's spices in it. They just come together.
You'd almost think that we timed our broadcast appropriately.
We did, Jason. Come on. we took breaks here and there. We spaced everything out so that we could come to it.
We are true professionals.
It is serendipity, probably, but we so looking forward to that. I think it's as good as time any just to kind of cleanse our palates.
Sure.
Get ready for the next one. And for the people who are watching live right now, we'll be back in just a few minutes. You are watching or
listening.
This has And I'm trying to consolidate this by getting rid of the word term watch and listen by just going right to it. And I'd forgotten to say, this is Pints and Pairings. Thank you for listening. I'm Curtis Taylor, also known as Hotbed Ted.
And I'm Jason Hendrick, the hungry man from Everybody's Hungry.
And we want to remind you to eat, drink, and be happy. See, now that just was so smooth, and it doesn't matter if you're listening
smooth
to it.
Smooth as a baby's butt, Curtis.
Doesn't matter if you're watching it or if you're just listening to
maybe
it.
Maybe we should just say if you're listening.
If listening. No, because then that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, we'll be back with today's official broadcast of Pints and Pairings. That's Curtis. I'm Jason. Stay tuned.
Thanks, Jason.
Cheers.
Cheers.